We're going to James chapter 2 this morning. That's where we're going to have our text. James chapter 2. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's toward the end of the New Testament. You find possibly the book of Revelation. Turn back to your left. You'll come to James. If you're in the book of Hebrews, go to your right. You'll come to James. James chapter 2. And for sake of time, we're a little bit behind schedule because of the introducing the Sunday school teachers, but that's okay. We'll be all right. And we're going to read just two verses, but I want you to keep your Bible open to see the Scriptures today. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good Word. We're going to read these verses, and then we're going to have a song, and we'll jump right into the message. I'm going to read for us verse number 14. You follow along. James 2:14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now we drop all the way down to verse number 26. And the Bible says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that You'll help Your people this morning and all of us to see clearly the teaching of Your Word. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I present Bible truth. I pray, O Lord, that our hearts will be receptive. Dear God, I pray that You'll please use Your Word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. May the good seed of Your book fall on good ground this morning and bring forth fruit. We'll thank You for it. Bless the song to come and the message that follows it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. pray, and we're going to preach this morning on the subject, Real Faith Always Works. Real faith always works. Dear Father, I pray that You'll give us now a listening heart. Thank You that Jesus is the answer. And I pray, oh God, for anyone in this room who's not been to Jesus in repentance and faith for salvation, that today might be the day of salvation. You told us that today is the day of salvation, Lord. You said You stand at the door and knock. I pray, God, if anyone hears that knocking this morning on their heart's door, that this will be the day that they trust Christ as their Savior. Speak to our hearts from Your message, Your word, please, in the message. And I thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. There are several places in our Bible where the Holy Spirit of God led the writers to ask a question. And then later in the same passage or chapter or sometimes even in the same book, the Spirit of God answered the question. Now, she just sang a great song. I had no idea what she was going to sing. Jesus is still the answer. And that's true. The Bible is an answer book. I like answers to good questions. I like that. Okay? And the Bible has the answers to the questions that it raises. The Bible raises a lot of questions. And it answers those questions. We have a question in this passage, and we have an answer. In verse 14, we have the question. He says here, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" In verse 26, we have the answer to that question. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So you got a question, and then you've got the answer. In other words, James says, here's a person. Man, woman, teenager, boy, girl, here's a person. And the person says, "I am saved. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm saved." Yet, there is absolutely no physical evidence of salvation. There's no work of service. There's no hunger for God's way. There's no evidence in their behavior. There's no evidence in their talk. There's no evidence in their appetites. There's absolutely no faith at work in their life. God says that person has dead faith. And if you've got dead faith, you don't have faith. So what are you saying? They're not saved. They're not born into God's family. They don't have the Spirit of God living with them. They've not been quickened or made alive. Now, friend, let me say this morning to make very, very clear what I'm preaching. We have a salvation that is entirely the gift of God. Entirely. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 4 times in the book of Acts, salvation is referred to as the gift of God. Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Salvation is a gift. Salvation cannot be earned. If it could be earned, it would not be a gift. My child has a birthday. I get my child a birthday gift. I don't say to them, "Here's your birthday. Happy birthday. Here's your gift. And you can save your money and pay me back in 5 or 6 weeks and you can have your gift." That's not a gift. Right? That's not a gift. I'm getting reimbursed for my gift. You can't be reimbursed for a gift. It would not be a gift. Salvation, I said a minute ago, salvation cannot be earned. If it's my child's birthday, and I say, "Happy birthday, and here's your gift, and if you'll keep your room clean for the next 3 weeks, you can keep it." That's not a gift. If it's a gift, whether they keep their room clean or not, they keep it. If it's a gift, whether they pay me back, they don't even try to pay me back, it's a gift. A gift is something that you cannot reimburse. A gift is something that cannot be earned. That's what salvation is, friends. Salvation is free. Now, wait a minute. It's not cheap. Salvation is not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ His life.
It cost Jesus Christ His blood. It cost Jesus Christ His body on the cross of Calvary. It is not cheap. Salvation is not cheap, but it is free. Free to anyone who comes to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trusts Him for salvation. No work can be added to that, or it's not a gift. Salvation's a gift. So salvation is the free gift of God. But there evidently were many in James's day, and I know there are many in our day, many people who say, I am saved. I believe in Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. I am saved. And yet there is no evidence in their life. No physical evidence. No private physical evidence. No public physical evidence. And James said, can faith save him? Does faith alone save? Does that kind of belief that has no physical evidence, no outward testimony, no hint of a changed life, does that kind of faith save? And God, through James, said, no. That kind of faith is dead faith. That kind of faith is what, if that kind of faith is all of a person has, they don't have salvation. They don't have that kind of, they don't have that salvation faith. Let me point out a couple of things in this passage, folks. Let me say, number one, words alone carry little weight. Words alone carry little weight. Look at verse number 14. You got your Bible there? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Well, look, anybody can say, I am saved. Anybody can say that, right? Anybody can say, I'm saved. I witness to people, you know, go soul winning, knock on doors, hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah. How you know that? Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I'm saved. Yeah? Words carry, you know, carry little. Look, if I meet Brother Bragg for the first time, we don't know each other, and this is Mike Bragg, and I'm Terry Angel. I meet Mike Bragg for the first time. Maybe it's in an elevator going to a motel room somewhere. Maybe it's in some kind of a business thing. But I meet Mike Bragg for the first time. Maybe we're sitting beside each other at a baseball game or something. I meet Mike Bragg. We get to talking. And I tell Mike, so what do you do? And I say, I am a biochemist. That's what I am. I'm a biochemist. And unbeknownst to me, we leave the ballpark, we leave the elevator, we leave the business meeting, and unbeknownst to me, Mike Bragg starts tagging me around behind me. I don't know it. He's back in the shadows like a spy would be, and he follows me day in and day out for 3, 4, 5 weeks. And I've told him I'm a biochemist. I never go to a lab. I never pick up a book on biochemistry. I never speak of biochemistry. There is no physical evidence in my life. There's no practical evidence in my life that I am a biochemist. I am not interested in biochemistry. I don't go to the lab. I don't read any books on biochemistry. I don't talk to anybody about biochemistry. And I don't do that just for 3 or 4 days, folks. I do that for 7 or 8 weeks. Can we say that Mike Bragg would have a legitimate question as to whether or not I was a biochemist? He might tap me on the shoulder after 8 weeks of following me around and say, hey, Terry, I thought you told me you were a biochemist. I've followed you around for 8 weeks. I've never seen you pick up a book on biochemistry. I've never heard you talk to anybody about biochemistry. I've never seen you visit a lab. I haven't seen you read on it. I haven't seen you do any kind of work that is evidence that you are a biochemist. I have watched you for 8 weeks. Are you sure you're a biochemist? Folks, would it stand to reason that a biochemist would have at least some, there would be some physical evidence in their life that they were a biochemist? Y'all listening this morning? Huh? Words alone carry little weight. I'm saved. Let me ask you a question. If people followed you around for 8 weeks, would they be able to tell it? Uh, Evidently, there was folks in James's day. There's folks in our day. They came to be saved. They don't have the slightest interest in church. They don't have the slightest interest in the Bible. They don't have the slightest interest in pleasing God. They'll never speak of God unless they use it in a bad way. There's absolutely zero evidence in their life that they are saved. Words alone carry little weight. James, he's got his own illustration. Look at verse 15. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I don't have to explain that long to you folks. You understand what he said there. Here's a guy who's hungry. He's thirsty. He doesn't have the daily necessity, the daily food and water. He's destitute of daily food and water. And he meets me, and I've got a cupboard full of food, and I've got gallon jugs of water and bottles of water and a faucet that runs good, pure, clean water. And I say, well, God bless you, man. I hope you get something to eat, something to drink. Well, did I say the right thing? I said the right thing as far as I hope you get something to eat and drink, but I didn't do the right thing, did I? So what were those words worth? Those words weren't worth a whole lot, were they? God bless you. Got a pantry full of food. Got a whole faucet full of running water. God bless you. I hope you get something to eat and drink. That's what James said. His words, although they were good, did nothing to profit the hungry man. And then he says in verse number 17, even so, just like that, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Just like the illustration, words without works doesn't mean anything. So a man says he is saved. So a woman says she is saved. So a young person says they are saved. Yet there is no physical evidence. There's no practical evidence. What good are those words? Oh, I know. We don't like to refer to this passage here. We don't like this passage. But it's in God's book. Words alone mean very little. And then James gives another illustration. He says in verse number 18, look at it, so I'm not misreading this. You know, you see it with your own eyeballs, as Ron Garris used to say, your God-given eyeballs, all right? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So, here, Brother Caleb, said, if you would please. So, here I am, and I meet Caleb Hansen. And Caleb Hansen says, he's saved. But there is no physical evidence, no practical evidence in his life to testify of his salvation. I tell Caleb I'm saved. There's physical evidence. There's practical evidence in my life that I'm saved. So I say to Caleb, I say, okay, Caleb, you say that you have faith and you have no works to back it up. Give me some evidence that you're saved. You never go to church. You're not interested in the Bible. You're not interested in pleasing God. You never speak of God. You never pray. You never talk to your family about God. You don't have any desire to serve God. There's absolutely no physical evidence in your life, and yet you tell me you're saved. So give me some evidence that you're saved. So you know what he says? I believe in God. Well, look what James said, verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So if his sole evidence for his salvation is that he believes in God, he's got faith no better than the devils. I know this takes the wind out of the sails. I was ready for it this morning. I'm ready for it. I know some of you just get so tight and everything, but it needs to be preached. I'm saved. Okay, Caleb, you tell me you're saved. There's no evidence. There's no hunger. There's no thirst for God. There's no interest in God. There's no interest in God's people. There's nothing going on in your life that gives me evidence that you're saved. So how do you know you're saved? Well, brother, I believe in God. So does Lucifer. All the minions of hell, because every time Jesus Christ showed up and there was a devil-possessed person, they said, "We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of Israel." And can I tell you that faith's not going to get him to heaven just because he believes in God? Are you listening this morning, folks?
Yep, that's right.
It's because he believes in God? James says, absolutely not. Thank you, Brother Caleb. He said, that's not enough. You don't have any. You don't have the faith that you claim is saving faith. Isn't faith any greater than what the devils have? Look, so I can say, look, Caleb, I say to you, I'm saved. And I have these evidences in my life. I love God's people. I enjoy the book. I don't look for an excuse to get out of church. I look for every reason I can to be in church. I want to serve God. I want my life to count. I'm not perfect. I fall on my face. I trip over my feet in trying to serve Him. But I like my Bible and I like my prayer time. And I enjoy. There's evidence in my life that I'm saved. So here we got folks who are claiming to be saved. There's no talk of God on your lips, no praise of God on your tongue, no hunger for God in your heart, no desire for fellowship with God's people, zero interest in God's Word, no song of a testimony in your mouth, none, zero, zip, laughing at things that are against God and against His holiness. Do you know what the conclusion is? Verse number 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, folks, I didn't say that. God said that. God said this claim of faith and the whole basis of their salvation being that they believe in God is illegitimate. In holy water. Faith without works. Faith without some kind of practical, physical evidence in your own heart, in maybe even to others. Some practical, physical evidence where the faith is at work in your life. If that faith is not at work, it's a dead faith. Not saved. Well, I prayed a prayer. So do the Catholics. So do the Muslims. Probably more faithful at it than we are. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about the kind of salvation that God talks about. The kind of salvation that has some evidence. The kind of salvation that has some practical, physical evidence. It may be great, or it may be... I'll get to that in just a minute. But you can't say you're saved and have a life with absolutely no evidence. And that salvation to be legitimate. Amen. That's what God said. Words alone carry little weight. Words alone carry little weight. Number two, let me say to this morning, works of obedience carry much weight. Works of obedience carry much weight. Now this to me is fascinating. This next passage, verses 21 through 26, they're fascinating. I want you to see verse 20. He uses two people from the Old Testament, watch it now, as illustrations of having faith that works. So we're going to go back into 4,000 years. 4,000 years of Old Testament history, and the Spirit of God is going to tell James to pick two people out of 4,000 years and use them as an illustration of having faith that's real. The first one is no shocker. Abraham. Look at verse number 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Stop right there, folks. Wait a minute. Look, Abraham, what can we say about Abraham? The father of the Jewish people. He had a close relationship with God. He followed God's leadership. God took him from his country. God took him from his family. And Abraham was obedient to God. And God said, Abraham, do you see the sand? The sand of the earth. I'm going to multiply your seed as the sand. And then he took him and he showed him the stars. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you father of an earthly people, and I'm going to make you father of a heavenly people. Make you father of the Jewish people, an earthly people, and I'm going to make you the father of all those who come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Abraham had a close relationship with God. And the Bible says he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was saved because he believed in the future death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he gave evidence of that salvation. God said, I want you to take Isaac, put him on the altar, and slay him. His only son that he waited 100 years to have with Sarah. Put him on the altar and kill him. And Abraham put that boy on an altar of stone with some fire, some sticks underneath, and he raised that knife up in the sky, ready to plunge it into Isaac's chest cavity when God stopped him. Now, just a minute. Putting Isaac on that altar did not make Abraham saved. God said he was already saved. But putting Isaac on that altar was proof that Abraham was saved. That was a great step of physical evidence that Abraham was a born-again child of God. Unbelievable that he would literally put his boy on the altar and raise the knife to kill him in obedience to God. That did not save Abraham, but that was proof. That was testimony. That was evidence that Abraham was saved. Okay? And then James uses Rahab. Look at verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? 4,000 years of Old Testament history. I understand God using Abraham. Rahab? Rahab? He chose Rahab over David and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Gideon and Samson and Noah and Enoch and all the patriarchs, Joseph and Jacob. He chose Rahab? A Gentile harlot? Who lived in the city of Jericho. And when the spies came to spy out the city of Jericho that Joshua sent in, the Bible says she took them and she hid them. She had heard about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. She had heard how they defeated two great kings and their armies. And somehow God had used all of that to work in her heart and listen to her testimony. She said, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Here was a Gentile woman who was a harlot out of the midst of an idolatrous people who said, I know that your God is the only God, and He is God in heaven and He is God on this earth. And she hid those spies and helped them get away. Now, she was very unlearned in her faith. Y'all with me this morning? Do you see the contrast? Abraham well-learned, God speaking to Abraham, come out of your country and leave your father, and he comes this far. God speaking to him again, look at the sand and try to count it. That's your earthly seed. God speaking to him again, chapter 15, look at the skies and tell the stars, that's your spiritual seed. Abraham believed God. I mean, boy, he was learned about God. And the proof that he had a relationship with God was in the fact that he offered his son on the altar in obedience to God. Here's Rahab. She's not near as learned as Abraham is. She's only heard that God brought his people out of Egypt through the Red Sea. She's only heard that they defeated the armies of Og and Bashan. She's only heard these things, but her heart embraced him as the only true God, God of heaven and earth. There is none other. And you know where her evidence was? In the fact that she hid those spies. And can I say this, folks? That was very weak evidence because she lied about it. She lied about it. Hey, did you see those men that came in? Oh, I didn't see them. Where were they? I think they went that way. She lied. So, don't miss this. The expression of her faith was weak. It wasn't as great as Abraham's. Are you with me? Abraham put his son on the altar, raised his knife in the air and was going to kill him. Rahab hid two spies and sent them loose and then lied about it. Unbelievable contrasts. What God is trying to teach us here is this. Look, folks, whether it's a small act of obedience like Rahab hiding the spies, or whether it's a great act of obedience like Abraham killing his son and going to kill his son on the altar, at least there is some act of obedience in the life of a person who says they're saved. It may be small, it may be huge. It may be significant, it may be insignificant, but there's some evidence, there's some testimony that they have a living faith. And when you take a life that has no faith, no testimony, no evidence, no witness, No nothing. James says that's a dead thing. Let me put it, folks, in modern vernacular. Look, God's not going to ask you and me to put our kids on the altar and drive a knife through their chest cavity. And God's not going to ask us to hide spies. This is the New Testament church age. This is the age of the New Testament church. And I'll tell you what, you've got people running around everywhere saying, I'm saved. You can't find them near a church. Got a Bible? Oh yeah, I got a Bible somewhere. Where's my Bible? Where is my Bible? Oh well, they gave it to us when we got married. This great big... No hunger for God. No interest in God. Never talking about God. Never listening to music that glorifies God. No witness about God on the inside. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Empty. God said, that's not saving faith. That's not saving faith. That's dead faith. That's dead belief. That's no more than the devil's half. Amen and amen, Brother Angel. That's right. If there's saving faith, there may be an act of faith the likes of Abraham's offering his son. Or there may be an act of faith the size of Rahab's hiding the spies from an unlearned Gentile harlot. But there is some evidence that a new birth has taken place. And he closes with the illustration. Verse 26. Y'all with me so far? I know some folks don't like it. That just gives me all the more reason to preach it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here you got to, I don't mean to be morbid, but you go into a funeral home, and in the funeral home is a casket, and the lid is up, and in the casket is a body laid out. The body looks complete, but there's no spirit and there's no soul in that body. There's no works there. Those eyes don't see, those ears don't hear, those lips don't speak, because there is no life. Right? Do you remember Lazarus?
Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He's stretched out on that slab. He hasn't moved. He hasn't blinked an eye. He hasn't lifted a finger. His lungs have not taken a breath. In 4 days, he's been dead 4 days. Let me ask you a question. When the Spirit, when Christ resurrected him and the Spirit of life entered back into that body, what happened? Did he move? Did he move fast? No. What is it? Was he effective? No, he was bound up with grave clothes. Bela Lugosi. Comes the mummy. He couldn't do a whole lot, folks. But there was life. There was life. So here's a person. Says they're saved. No hunger for God. No concern for right. No desire for church. No desire for fellowship. No love for the Bible. No praise of God on the lips. No interest in following the Lord and believers' baptism. No interest in God's will. No works. God says that is dead. Salvation is free. It's the gift of God. It's offered to all, whosoever will. But you hear me good this morning. When God gives a person the free gift of salvation, it is a salvation that is alive. And brother, there's going to be some evidence. Some evidence. So let me ask you this morning. If somebody followed you around for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, would there be any evidence that you're saved? Would there be? And not just what you can show people with works, public works, but what on the inside? Is there within you a faith that's alive? A faith that works? A faith that testifies? A faith that witnesses, I'm saved? Or is it only coming off of your lips? Empty words with nothing behind to testify and give evidence that you're alive spiritually. You don't have to look down, folks. I'm not trying to make you doubt yourself. Hey, you're just trying to get me to doubt my... I'm not trying to do anything but preach that book right there, verse by verse. If you're bothered, you check it out with the Holy Ghost. You check it out with the Holy Spirit. I'm not shooting for anything this morning just to preach the truth of God's Word. I'm going to tell you something because I run into them all the time. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. You couldn't find enough evidence in their life of salvation to blow the fuzz off of a peanut. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you where we fundamental Baptists are. We look down at evangelicals. We look down our noses at evangelicals. We look down our noses at other folks. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes there is more evidence in their life that they got real salvation than some fundamental Baptists who have all the right things to say. But nothing inside. God. I meet folks not from a Baptist church. And they'll give a testimony of their salvation. And their verbal testimony is weak. But then they start talking about how they love to read the Bible. I just want to tell somebody about Jesus so they don't have to die and go to hell. And this week I talked to this person about Christ. This week I talked to this person about Christ. And their verbal testimony is very weak because they don't know how to say what happened to them. But something happened. I'm saved.
I'm saved. Yeah, Jesus died. He rose again. Oh, I'm saved. Yeah, He died. Shed His blood on Calvary. Yeah, I'm saved. Bible's the Word of God. I'm saved. I know. I don't care if I go to church. I don't care if I tell anybody about Christ. I never read my Bible. No, I never talk to anybody about Jesus. No, I never listen to any Christian music. No, but I'm saved. You tell me who's born again. I'm preaching the truth this morning, pal. If you're bothered for you, you take it up with the Holy Spirit of God. If you're bothered, maybe He's ringing your phone. So I'm bothered because I don't have any desire for God, but I've told people I'm saved. You know what I would do? I'd humble myself, hit this altar, and say, "Oh God, if I'm not saved, I repent and I trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Lord, I accept the free gift of salvation. Birth me into Your family. Give me the real salvation that works itself out." Amen. I'm dead serious. Because a real faith always works. A real faith. Oh, I know. You say, "I know. I'll just get saved in my seat." So what does the Bible mean when it says, "With the heart man believeth on the righteous, with the mouth confession is made into salvation"? You know what? If you get saved, you're going to talk about it. It's going to be coming out of your mouth. I wonder this morning, are you sitting there with a dead faith? Or is there something inside of you? You know it, and other people can tell it too. Huh? Because a real faith always works. See, Pastor Angel, I'm not perfect, but my goodness, I can't wait to get to church. I love it. I love the preaching. I bring my Bible. I try to understand it. I try to read my Bible during the week, and I have a heart to do right. You know what? That's good evidence that you got real faith. If you don't have that, friend, I'd be praying about you. Real faith always works. Amen? Always works. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Heavenly Father, You're a great God and wonderful Savior. I pray, oh God, that You'll please take the message this morning, and may the Spirit of God use it in our hearts. Lord, I would just beg. I would beg You, oh God, if anybody in this room is unsaved, lost, Lord, claiming to be saved with their lips, but there's no evidence in their heart, there's no evidence privately, and there's no evidence publicly. Lord, I pray that they'd be willing to humble themselves and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Trust Him as their personal Savior. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Friend, let me ask you this morning, how many folks would say, "Brother Angel, according to what you preached this morning from the Bible, according to what God's book says in James 2, verses 14 through 26, I'm saved. There's some evidence in my heart. There's evidence in my life. I'm not perfect. I stumble along. I trip over myself sometimes, but I know I'm saved." That's your testimony. Would you lift a hand this morning in testimony to God? Would you do that? Thank you. Take your hands down. Who's here this morning would say, "Brother Angel, I could not lift my hand just now. I know I'm unsaved," or according to what was preached from James 2, 14 through 26, now I'm concerned because there is no interest for God. Let me be honest with you, Brother Angel, there's no interest for God. There's no interest in God. there's no hunger. There's nothing alive in me. Brother Angel, I don't think I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, wherever you're sitting in the room this morning? Put it up. God bless you. Is there another one? I don't think I'm saved. Man, a woman, boy, or girl, child, teenager, member, visitor, front to back, side to side. I don't think I'm saved. Or I know I'm lost. See a child's hand. God bless you. Ask your friend this morning to search your heart and allow the Spirit of God to search your heart very carefully. And if there's nothing alive inside of you for God, please, please, you start checking that out according to what the Bible teaches. My goodness, it would be an awful thing to die and go to hell from anywhere on earth. Even more awful to die and go to hell from the pews of a Baptist church. Do you know for certain that you're saved? That there's something alive inside of you, a faith that works? If not, then friend, you come this morning. One of these folks can talk to you about that faith, show you how to trust Christ and be saved. Faith that works.